Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K.
Go Hoosiers!
Coach
K speaks
the truth!
Woo! Hello, this is Joe Milligan, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, the regional edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. And I'm joined by, as always, by Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, I don't like playing that clip, but you were one of the people that, for a month already at least, was picking Jasper to win the sectional. So last weekend, Coach K did speak the truth.
T-R-U-T-H, truth, Joe, and I'm glad that you took the time to admit, first of all, to play that clip, which in New York and New Jersey, where truth can sometimes be suspect, they know that Coach K speaks the truth.
especially in New Jersey. New Jersey's kind of a shady area. Sorry if we have any listeners in New Jersey, but kind of a shady area. And you know as well as I know, it's tough. Since I'm the one that plays the sound bites, it's tough for me to click on that one. It really is.
Well, you had to, because I had been saying for almost a month that I believed that Jasper would win the tournament at Honeyburg Memorial Gym. And it wasn't just because I'm from Jasper and I coached at Jasper and I'm always going to be a supporter of Jasper. It was because I saw the progress of the basketball team. It was a team that I believed had shooting, had ball handling, had some size, had athletic ability, had a lot of positive things going. They started out rough. There's no doubt. It wasn't the team you're seeing now. It wasn't even close to the team that started out the season. And it's almost fitting, Joe, as we go into this regional round this weekend, that Jasper will play Evansville Memorial, who they started basically the season with, and Memorial trounced them in that game at Jasper. But I don't think that's going to be the case this time, and we'll talk more about that later. Coach John Gable of the Jasper Wildcats joins us later in the show. We also have Brian Hughes of the number one ranked and one loss, Bari Vikings. They'll be playing in the regional round at Lagodi. They'll be playing Trinity Lutheran. We'll talk a little bit about Bari Vikings with Coach Hughes. I'm excited to have him on the show. He's been around the scene for a long, long time, won a lot of games. And unfortunately, and I'll bring it up when Brian joins the show, there's kind of some irony in having Brian on the show. We'll talk about it then. We have a couple of Glory Day editions today, Joe. We've got Mike Steppe, our first guest, will be coming up just a little bit after this first segment. He'll be talking about the 1984 Dubois Jeeps, Northeast Dubois Jeeps, and their Cinderella run to the sectional and regional, which was pretty exciting coming out of the Southridge sectional. And then we'll talk a little bit later in the second segment to John Botorf, for our listeners, Botts has always got questions for us each week. But John was a member of the 89 Jasper Wildcats. 25 years ago, the Wildcats played in the Washington Regional, and John Botorf was a part of that group. Had an outstanding group of young men. Of course, Jason Albrand, who's an assistant coach with the Jasper Wildcats now. Scott Yarbrough, who's a great player, and he was a great player on that team. He coaches tennis now and teaches, and he had a great career, and we'll talk to him a little bit later on. So there's a lot of things to talk about, but before we end this first segment, Joe, we got to talk about the nasty, the rough, the ugly, the disappointing. Indiana University, IU Hoosiers, Purdue both played in the Big Ten Conference Tournament opening round yesterday. Both found themselves on the short end. I would have to say to you, Joe, that Purdue played better than IU played. They came up short. Although Ronnie Johnson, and for you Purdue fans that are listening, I got to tell you this. Ronnie Johnson has struggled the whole year in his decision-making out on that basketball court. And he didn't let you down. He did it again in the Big Ten tournament. He struggled again in the Big Ten tournament. He was the best player Ohio State had out there. And Ronnie, if by chance you end up listening to these snippets, I'm sorry, but you've got to make better on-court decisions. Your basketball IQ is so far away from where it should be with your ability. I don't know what to tell you, son. I know that you are frustrating Coach Painter and everybody else on that Purdue team and Purdue Nation. Purdue should have won that basketball game yesterday, and from ill-advised passes to offensive fouls late in the game to a terrible handoff at the end that could have resulted in a better opportunity at the basket. But otherwise, Purdue did everything they could do, Joe, to win that. IU's another story. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But, Joe, I mean, Purdue played well. I mean, for what they needed to do, they were where they needed to be against Ohio State.
Well, they played a little bit more of team basketball yesterday. It wasn't the me factor that I see a lot. And, you know, Golden Black Illustrated, there's rumors that Ronnie might be heading elsewhere. I mean, Golden Black even, you know, the guys who run the site usually don't talk about that kind of stuff. One of the writers for them actually brought up a couple schools he might be going to, which I find it hard to believe that if he was looking to go elsewhere, that he would have been playing yesterday. But there are a lot in Boilermaker Nation that fill with Bryson Scott, and they also got a verbal from P.J. Thompson. I think he's out of Brebeuf this week. And that's also a point guard that he might be heading his own way. And some of the Purdue Nation feel like that might not be that bad of a deal.
Well, he has ability. Don't get me wrong. He has ability. But he made mental and physical mistakes that hurt that team all day long. And honestly, Joe, I feel like he's been that way the whole season. I've always said, go back and check the other shows if you don't believe me. I'm not just picking a game situation out. Go back and listen to our podcast. They're available at thecoachkandjoeshow.com. Just go check them out. I'm telling you right now, the guard play, their guards are so similar. That's one of the problems. Their guards are very similar. And because of that, they can't afford to be alike in their IQ on the court. And they are exactly alike. And they make bad decisions. And yesterday, Ronnie Johnson's decisions all the way through the game were just bad. He got an offensive foul late in the game, bringing the ball up the court, and he didn't like the Ohio State player leaning on him. So instead of just focusing and getting that ball up the court and letting the officials do the job, he swings his arm out. He swings his arm out. And what's he get? Offensive foul. Ridiculous. IU will talk about a little bit later on. I don't even know what to say about the Hoosiers. It seemed like it, they imploded again in the last 3 minutes, didn't shoot well. Just a lot of issues right there. Just a couple other things before we go to our first break and bring Glory Days in with Mike Steppy. GLVC tournament last week, USI won that tournament. They are in the NCAA Division II tournament. Their first round game on Saturday, Southern Indiana 25-5 under Coach Rodney Watson versus the number 6 Michigan Tech team 22-7. Folks, if you like buffets to eat at and you like basketball, then you're going to love the basketball buffets that are going on right now. This isn't a commercial for a food eating joint. This is about there is basketball all over the tube right now. If you're not in Indianapolis or you're not somewhere where a conference tournament's being held, you can pull up into any establishment for a Coke or a beer or whatever you like to drink and watch game after game after game. or you can sit in your living room and pop that TV back and forth and you can watch game after game after game. The Big Ten tournament's going on. ACC's going on. Big 12 tournament's going on. There's basketball everywhere. Some of the games coming up in the SEC tournament today. You've got Florida versus Missouri. You've got Tennessee versus South Carolina. South Carolina had a nice win over Arkansas. Kentucky, everybody, you either like Kentucky or you despise them. I'm not going to tell you that the Coach K and Joe show likes Kentucky, so you can kind of figure it out from there. Kentucky and Coach Cal, 22-9, an ugly 22-9, plays LSU and Georgia and Mississippi. So that's the SEC tournament. Louisville won big over Rutgers. The Lady Aces are still alive in the Missouri Valley Women's Tournament. They've had a nice run. They're still alive. So much going on. Obviously, Illinois beat Indiana. Ohio State beat Purdue. And blah, 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 blah. And what do you think? Iowa? I told you. I told you about Iowa. Go back and listen to the other shows. I've told you that Iowa just continues to be... They tease you. They act like they're going to get there, and they don't get there. Northwestern gets a big win. Richie Pitino keeps his hopes for the NCAA tournament alive with Minnesota. They win. Quarterfinals today in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan, boy, Josh Houchen, I can't believe you haven't called into the show, Josh, and gotten on me. Number one, Michigan plays Illinois. Nebraska, wow, their hopes are alive for an NCAA tournament bid. As one of the players from Ohio State yesterday said after the Purdue game, hey, this Nebraska, they're not like the old Nebraska basketball teams. They got players now. I thought that was great. And then Wisconsin is going to take on Minnesota. Michigan State, who's kind of limping in a little bit, plays Northwestern. Watch out for Northwestern. Question is Iowa really an NCAA tournament team? We may talk about that later in the show. First, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to do a little glory days with Mike Steffi and the Northeast Du Bois Jeeps from 1984. We're going to break on this regional hoops weekend in the state of Indiana and conference tournament college hoops weekend all over the country. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and a very faint-sounding Bruce Springsteen playing Glory Days. And we are back with an edition of Glory Days. And who we've got to glorify? None other than a member of the 1984 Northeast Du Bois team that made a Cinderella run in the one-class state tournament. And I love to bring up the fact that it was a one-class state tournament because it made it just a little bit more special. Mike Steffi, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Coach. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you, Mike. We go back a long ways, probably first got to know each other with Joe as well on the softball field in Jasper. I think we put a little softball tournament team together, and you were a part of that. We made a run to the state final or the state tournament, and it was a lot of fun. I think that's the first when I really first got to know you.
Yeah, I think so, too. That was some fun times for sure on the softball field, and playing with the 3D Merchants in the Jasper League was a lot of fun, and playing with you and Joe in the 18 and over softball tournament was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, that was a good time, and folks, we're talking again, if you just tuned in, we're talking with Mike Steffi in our Glory Days edition. We're taking a look back at the 1984 Northeast Du Bois Jeeps who made a run in the one-class tournament to the semi-state. Mike, we talk about that team a little bit. I saw you over the last weekend. We talked just briefly about that team. But it was a group, I call it a cast of characters. First of all, you had a tremendous coach in John Church, but he was a character. He was a lot of fun to be around. He was animated. He was emotional, and he was a heck of a basketball coach. And then you had a cast of characters on that team. Talk a little bit about Coach Church and a little bit about the personnel on that 1984 team.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, Coach Church was definitely had a lot of emotion and intensity that he brought to both practice and on the sidelines. And, you know, our team was able to buy into that and try to play very well as a team. We kind of put it together after Coach announced he was going to resign that year. And I gave up part of it. We were able to really buy in when he was teaching. And Coach Church was, you know, coaches have different philosophies. Some coaches believe in teams play their way, regardless of their personnel, but Coach Church really did a great job of designing game plans to his personnel. So we were a lot of different things, and he really had to highlight what each of us did well individually.
You know, Mike, when you went into the tournament, again, we were in the one-class system over at Southridge. Du Bois had always been competitive in the tournament, but not had what you would call great success in the sectional tournament. You had the great run from the 1977 team. Did the team from 1977, I'm sure all those guys were legends within Du Bois, was that always something as a young boy coming up through the grades that you guys looked at and said, boy, if we could just, we're going to be the team that does what the 1977 team was able to do?
Up and we would play against some of those guys in the summer, and that was really neat as you got older to play against some of the greats that you had watched seen play on the basketball floor. And you know, those guys were great motivators and great role models for us to try to follow.
So you get ready for the sectional tournament going in. I mean, did you feel like this team had the ability to win it? What was it, something that you guys thought you could do?
Yeah, we did. We had beaten Southridge twice that year. We had split with Forest Park. Of course, for some reason back then, we didn't play Jasper in the regular season, but we were confident going in, and, you know, we got a pretty decent draw. We drew Forest Park in the opening game, and we're fortunate to beat them in overtime, and then went into the final game against Southridge, which Southridge was, you know, 1 year prior to making back-to-back state runs, so their team was pretty young, and we were able to get off to a very good start in that game and close the deal.
You know, it's one thing to play in that sectional, and it's one thing to win that sectional, and obviously you played in the sectional. Even today, as great as the Southridge sectional was for the 3A class and the different class sectionals have been, tell our listeners just a little bit about what it was like to walk in that gym, walk out on that floor, 6,000 fans packed to the rim. Just your feelings about that time in the tournament.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I'll actually take you to my junior year. We drew Jasper my junior year, so we walk out for pregame warm-ups, you know, and you're kind of overwhelmed by the crowd, and you go to warm up, and you're warming up under the basket, and there's Jasper student section out in full force, yelling, screaming, very, very intimidating, and that was an awesome feeling. And then going back to the senior year and just the emotion of the crowd and being able to win that sectional and just having the stands empty. And, you know, you talk about court storming a lot, but man, that was such a great feeling, such a great feeling.
Well, we haven't even gotten to the regional round, but let's talk a little bit about Dubois, post-sectional championship night. I know what it's like in a lot of the small towns in Indiana after you win a sectional, but Dubois and Forest Park, Ferdinand, they were classic towns after they won a sectional in the one class. Just tell us a little bit about what it was like coming back to Dubois after winning that night.
Unbelievable. You know, riding on the bus and the streets were packed with people. I mean, literally everywhere you go. Dubois is not a big town, but packed with people, and getting back to the gym for a pep rally that lasted well on into the night. You know, I'll never forget the following day we had another pep session where they actually burned a house in town. It was a house that was kind of scheduled to be demolished, so pretty amazing thing, and just incredible, and what a tremendous ride we had, you know, that night and into the early mornings.
And you know, a lot of times, Mike, a lot of times people don't realize in the one class system in Indiana how precious it was to win a sectional championship. And when Dubois did, you talk about lasted well into the night. I know the celebration was into the streets well into the next morning, and it wasn't just people in Dubois that came to celebrate, but you would have people from the surrounding smaller communities come in as well, because they just wanted to be a part of what it was like to win a sectional in the one-class system in a small community.
Yeah, Mardi Gras. You know, you mentioned 1977, the first sectional Dubois ever won. So, you know, when we won in 84, that was number two. So, you know, that's a pretty big deal.
I love that. And you're not done, though. I mean, the regional round comes up. And honestly, a lot of people look at the Southridge winner. If it wasn't Jasper, later on it would be Southridge. A lot of people didn't give the sectional winner from Southridge a lot of chance to win in the regional. You guys went into that regional at Washington, and you took on Bedford North Lawrence. Can you remember what the scouting report, how you felt, what Coach Church's thoughts were as you took on your first-round opponent in the regional against Bedford North Lawrence?
Yeah, you know, when we looked at Bedford, obviously a huge school, a huge challenge. You know, Coach Church did a great job of instilling confidence in us that, you know, hey, we play our game, we got a chance to beat these guys. They were not very big. You know, we matched up pretty well with them height-wise. They kind of played a very similar type game to what we did, and we put in a few new wrinkles, but we were able to go out and execute our game plan and get a nice victory.
Yeah, you came away with a 61-50 victory over Bedford North Lawrence, and then you would go into the championship round of that 84 regional against Lagodi and Jack Butcher. What do you remember about that Lagodi team who had beaten Crawford County in the semifinal round?
Well, the first thing that comes up when Dubois played Lagodi that year is we hadn't beat them in 17 years. The second thing that came up is when we played earlier in the year at Lagodi, and Lagodi beat us by 19 points. Toward the end of the game, I'll never forget, Coach had the starters out on the bench. We were sitting there, and we looked across the floor, and their student section was pointing and laughing. And, you know, we were getting very upset about it. And after the game, we asked Coach Church, you know, he was kind of calm and even laughing back at him. So we asked him what the deal was, and he said, well, when I crouched over one time, I ripped my pants open. So I'm sure they were looking at the ripping my pants and laughing at us. But so we were extremely motivated going into that Lagodi game, you know, and with the support of our fans and the energy of our fans behind us, we were able to bring that one home as well.
Yeah, that was a nice win, 46-42, I believe, over Lagodi. And you know, the other thing about that, a lot of people that understand the history of Indiana high school basketball, you were going up against a tournament-tested school team and coach. Of course, Jack Butcher is the all-time winningest coach in the state of Indiana, Ligoti was no stranger to the Washington Regional or to that Washington Regional final game. I know they were in the finals back in 1981 when we won the sectional. Jasper, the team I was on, they beat us in the opening round. So you really were against a team not only that had beaten you earlier in the year soundly, but had great, I mean, really great tradition, great experience in that regional round. You guys are coming in as only the second team in Du Bois history to get there and have a chance to play in that championship game.
Yep, you're absolutely right. You know, Ligoti is definitely a blue blood when it comes to high school basketball. And, you know, that year they had beaten a Washington Catholic team that I believe had only lost two games all year and was state ranked in the single class poll. So, you know, they were definitely a very tough task for us.
What do you recall about that championship game in the locker room, on the floor? I know that as time goes on, a lot of what we remember fades away, but is there two or three things about, not Coach Church, but teammates, things that went on the floor, certain points in the game that you felt, you know, we were where we needed to be mentally to get that basketball game?
Yeah, I think our guards, you know, Bruce Trewiski and John Cho, two small guards, they really set the tone in that game with their toughness defensively and offensively. And going into that game, we had talked a lot about we struggled from the free throw line up to that point in the tournament, but we were able to hit 22 for 26 from the free throw line. And, you know, just a great from the bench all the way down. On, you know, toward the end of the game, Coach Butcher called a timeout when they didn't have one. And I just recall a lot of that stuff happening in front of our bench and, you know, Brian Cockerham and Tim Hall and those guys just going crazy over there. And we were able to hit some free throws down the stretch and kind of keep at bay. And just a great, great team effort.
Well, you talk about your two guards in Bruce Trewiski and John Schott, and they were tough guys. I remember them well. They had a lot of fun outside of sports, but everything they competed at, everything they did hard and they did aggressively and they did with toughness. And it goes back to what I've always said. When you have good teams, you may have some low post play and you may have some shooters and things like that, but good teams usually have one, and if they have two, it's even better, tough guys leading the team out front in the guard play.
You know, not only I'll also throw in Darren Cave in that, because Darren was a 5'10". He was a scrapper. He would go inside and mix it up. And, you know, John and Darren were both juniors that year. So as our senior class, you know, we had some success growing up, but getting that junior class to kind of meld together with us really brought that extra edge of toughness that we needed to do what we needed to do.
Well, the horn sounds, and you've done the improbable, at least when the tournament started, and maybe to a lot of people when the game started because of Ligoti's play against you earlier in the year. You win a regional championship. Mike, I just can't imagine what that meant for the community, what it meant for everybody, but when that horn sounds, it's got to be pandemonium. It's just got to be craziness at the Hatchet House.
Yes, it was craziness pretty much the whole game, but looking back on some of the photos, and, you know, the Jeep fans filled the entire court of Hatchet House after the game. And, you know, the Du Bois fans represent well forever. That, you know, they're always going to show out and force to support their team, but just having that court fill up so quickly with all the fans and everything was just unbelievable.
Well, I know you can't tell us everything that went on in Du Bois that night after a regional championship, but I'm sure that whatever happened sectional night was multiplied on regional night back in the hometown of Du Bois, Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we even found another house to burn. But just, you know, the feeling of care being, you know, treated the way we were treated by the community was something that I'll never forget. You know, the feelings and everything, it's hard to really describe, and you almost have to kind of be there to imagine what it was like. But great, great experience, and, you know, something I'll never forget.
And I think another thing that for our listeners who aren't familiar or don't understand high school basketball in the state of Indiana, it's something a community never forgets. Generations talk about that with their younger kids, about the team, about the players, about the celebration that went on. And it really is something for the next 10, 20, 30 years, even longer. It will continue to be a memory for many, many people in DuBois and in DuBois County in general, because I know that after you guys won that regional championship, a lot of the county accepted the fact that the sectional was over. They joined in with the celebration in DuBois. People from Jasper, people from Huntingburg, people from surrounding communities, people from the French Lick area, they all came over to DuBois to be a part of that celebration, because in the one-class system, Mike, you guys are not only the regional champions, you are one of – you're the Sweet 16. You're one of 16
yep.
teams left in the state of Indiana that has a chance to play for a state championship.
Right, right. Pretty good feat for a little school of 340 kids at the time, so –
And when you look at that semi-state, was there a ceiling there? Did you say, oh, there's no way we can go on? Or were you guys in that realm of understanding that, listen, we're one of the last teams standing. We can do this.
We had a lot of confidence going into the semi-state. You know, we played at Holman Center in Terre Haute, and, you know, we were very excited to go play at the place that Larry Bird played at. You know, we drew Vincent. I was looking last night for the photos. It was Vincennes, Floyd Central, and Terre Haute South. So the coaches there were Joe Hinton, Gene Miller, and Pat Rady. Coach Church. So, you know, if you know about high school basketball, Hinton, Rady, and Miller, those are three of the pretty.
Yeah, you're talking about 1,600 wins by those coaches when you combine or put them all together, maybe more than that. The dream ended, the Cinderella run ended, Vincennes upends you guys 56-44. What do you recall from that game as it was being played? Joe, I think we lost Mike?
He's online. He might be having cell trouble. He's still showing up that he's on with us.
Well, let's go to a quick break and see if we can't recover him. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to see if we can recover our guest, Mike Steffi, a member of the 1984 DuBois Sweet 16 team. We'll go take a quick break to see if we can get him back. You're listening to Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we've got Mike Steffi joining us again. He had a dropped call. So, Coach, take it away.
Hey, Mike, you're back with us. If you missed my last question, what I had asked you was just some of your recollection from that Vincennes DuBois game. Vincennes did get the win 56-44. Just some quick recollections from that game.
Yeah, you know, they really brought a defensive intensity that we had not seen all year. They ultimately came within a last-second shot of winning the state title. Very, very good team. We just never really could get anything started against them, and it was tough. It was a struggle.
Well, and even with that loss, you become one of the legendary teams of Hoosier Hysteria, and I really mean that. Not only are you one of the few teams to accomplish that, actually one of two teams in the single-class system to accomplish that for Northeast DuBois, to be one of the last 16 teams playing, But you enter yourself in the history of Hoosier Hysteria, being the small school, breaking through the Southridge Sectional, winning the Washington Regional, and ultimately losing in the first round of the Sweet 16 to Vincennes, who did go on to become a runner-up in the state tournament. Mike, you talked about some of the guys on your team. One of the things that I want to mention before we let you go is you as an individual, I know why you've had success as a basketball player on a basketball team with the guys that you played with, the coach that you had, and you continue to be that way today. You're constantly giving back, whether you're helping community organizations raise money, running basketball tournaments to raise funds and make players better. You also run the Tri-County Y that is based in Ferdinand, Indiana. Tell us a little bit about Tri-County Y and what you guys got going.
Well, you know, the Tri-County YMCA, we serve Dubois, Perry, and Spencer County, and I was fortunate enough about a year and a half ago to be offered the job as the executive director. Kind of a new organization. We've been around for about 10 years, but we're just kind of really hitting our growth spurt right now. And, you know, we serve anywhere from children 6 weeks old up to, you know, I think our oldest member, active member, is maybe 85. So get an opportunity to see lots of great things going on through the day. And we put on youth sports programs. Actually, today I'm going to be traveling to Tell City to look at an opportunity in Perry County. So definitely a great opportunity to keep growing and keep giving back and maybe, you know, create a lasting impact.
Well, Mike, and the why, the whole focus and purpose of the why is to give opportunities to the community, to the young people, to adults, to keep the community involved, keep them healthy mentally, emotionally,
right,
spiritually, just doing the things. And I really think that the program and the process and the mission of the Y, as far as the Tri-County Y that you have going, it's just going to continue to grow for you.
I think so. And it kind of took me a while to find my place, maybe, but I'm happy, very happy where I'm at and, you know, looking forward to what we can do with the Y.
Well, I always have said this, and I really do believe this. People are successful because they know how to include other people. They know how to be servant leaders. And, Mike, there's no doubt about it. You're another one of those young men that continue to give back to the community. You gave back when you were in high school as a player. You were a servant leader, and you continue to be a servant leader today. Best of luck. It's great having you on the show, taking a look back at the wonderful run of the 1984 Dubois Jeeps, Northeast Dubois Jeeps, that ended up a member of that Sweet 16 group. When you get to the semi-state, folks, in the state of Indiana, in the one-class system, there's only 16 teams left, and those 84 Jeeps were one of them.
Thanks for having me on, Coach. I really appreciate it.
Look forward to talking to you in the future, Mike Steffi. We're going to go to another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit before we bring John Gable, the coach of the regional-bound Jasper Wildcats. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelar's a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and Cody Zeller knows a little bit about Hoosier Hysteria. having won a couple of state championships while he was in high school. Of course, a member of the Charlotte Bobcats and playing pretty well in his first year in the NBA. As we get ready for our next guest, he'll be coming up in just a few minutes, Coach John Gable of the Regional Bound Jasper Wildcats. Let's touch base a little bit on the Big Ten tournament. We talked a little bit about Purdue earlier. Let's talk a little bit about the Illinois-Indiana game. I was able to catch the game. Don Schulteis, our Indy correspondent, was at the IU-Illinois game yesterday at Bankers Life, and he may call in later, and we'll get a little information on what it was like to be there. I know some of the IU fans got pretty irate, and I don't blame them. Listen, folks, the Hoosiers got down 9-0. Now, basketball is a game of runs. I've said it 1,000 times. If you're going to be a basketball player, if you're going to be a basketball coach, and my gosh, if you're a basketball fan, it's a game of runs. And what I mean is you're going to have periods in the game where each team plays well. It's who makes the extended runs and who makes the last run. And, you know, the Hoosiers got down 9-0. But they came back, took the lead, and played pretty well into halftime, came out, started the second half, took really a nice lead in the game, 5-7 points, and then just continued to fall apart from there. And, you know, I'm an IU fan. It's been a difficult season to watch the Hoosiers play. It's ended. I'm sure we'll make the NIT, although at 17-15, I'm not sure the Hoosiers deserve to be in the NIT, but we'll see. It seems like the Big Ten carries a lot of weight. But the Hoosiers did not shoot well. Farrell was 3 of 13. I think he's looked tired for the last few weeks. He's had a big load to carry. But we should be able to talk a little bit about this game a little bit later on in the second hour of the show. Right now, we're going to continue with our theme of regional basketball, regional round basketball here in the state of Indiana. Of course, it's Hoosier Hysteria, wild, going wild right now. And with us, we have the head basketball coach of the Regional Bound Jasper Wildcats, John Gable. Coach Gable, great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Kenny.
Hey, first of all, Coach, let me congratulate you as you have now joined the fraternity of coaches at Jasper to win a sectional, and we are excited about that. And let me compliment you also on the fact that you had a basketball team that started out the season struggling, but you did what coaches always do and don't get enough credit for. You kept with them. You and your staff kept bringing them around. They kept getting better, and now you find yourself with a sectional championship and a chance to go on and play in this regional this weekend. You got to feel good about the progress of the team and the effort of the coaching staff.
Yeah, Coach, I really am. I'm, and you coached a long time too, obviously, and you know that it's not always about winning championships. It's about the end result or the end product as far as how much you've improved. And this team really has. They've matured a great deal. They've gotten a lot more focused on important things like defense and rebounding. But the best part about it is they've just maintained good team chemistry. They like to be around each other, and they're fun to be around. And there's never a day that as a coach that I walk into practice and wonder what kind of, you know, issues I might have to deal with. They're an easy group to coach, and just, like I said, good work ethic, good charisma, and have had a good attitude.
Well, before we start talking a little bit about the regional round and the team you'll be facing and the potential teams you could be facing, coaches, I look at your team, and I was there at the first game of the year. I saw you guys play in the middle. And obviously, I've seen what you've done at the end. I've got to tell you, I jumped on really positive about this team about a month ago because I started to see the size, the athletic ability, the shooting, the ball handling. I started to see the mix come together. And I was really positive about the transition and development of this team. At what point in the season did you feel, was there a game, was there a weekend, was there a couple of weeks together where you felt like this team was starting to turn the corner?
Well, you know, going into that New Albany game about 10 games ago, we felt like we were playing much, much better and much improved. And we went over to New Albany, and like usually happens over there, we didn't play well there. And we got beat by 20 over there. Pretty good New Albany team, by the way. It's also won a sectional, and they're playing in a regional this weekend. But at practice the next day, I felt like the kids had bounced back so well. I mean, it was a devastating loss as far as getting, because we were never in the game. They just destroyed us. But these guys didn't seem to get they didn't seem to get down about it. And you know, we've played 10 games since then, and we've won 8 of those. And the 2 losses are by a total of 3 points. We lost by 2 to Heritage Hills at home, and lost by 1 over at Princeton. So you know, on a 10-game stretch here since New Albany, we've just, I'd have to say, not playing perfect basketball, but executing very, very well, especially for the age of our kids and their experience level.
And, Coach, you know, you talk about that New Albany game, and believe me, many Jasper coaches have dealt with that New Albany game when it's at New Albany. I know I've taken teams over there, and it's just been a struggle to just get the game over with. But you're right in what you talk about. What is the mentality of that team as they come out of that loss and they move forward? Are they still living back there and in the loss and the size of the loss? Are they moving on to fix the things and just continue to improve? And obviously this team did that. You've got a nice mix of ball handling, of shooters. You got a little size. You got a little athletic ability. You've got some what I call multi-sport players who have been winners and leaders in other sports that have come in and make up your basketball team. Talk a little bit about your personnel and just some of the things that maybe a few of these kids bring to the team that have created this sectional champion, I think 31st sectional championship team in Jasper history.
Well, I guess you start with our leading scorer, Nolan Ahrens, and like you mentioned, multiple sports. He's the quarterback for the football team, obviously. Coach Tony Ahrens is his father, and he's also our leading scorer and has turned in to one of our leaders on the basketball floor as well, and scoring about 12 points a game. And Nolan isn't real vocal, but he's just one of those kids. He's got good personality and good charisma, and people follow him. Another, obviously, multiple-sport athlete would be one of his close friends, Austin Aulis. Austin's a 3-sport athlete, football, basketball, and baseball, and that's getting less and less common for people to be able to pull that off. Especially now that the summers are open, there's so much time that we demand from these kids in the summertime. But Austin goes from one sport to the next and is a varsity player in all three and a major contributor. You know, I don't want to forget our seniors. Cortland Betts. Cortland's going to be back. Cortland was the only senior starter for most of the season. He'll be back this week for the regional. He'll be rejoining us after being off for 6 games. And Cortland is a big reason, part of how we've come to the point we are too. Cortland was one of our leading scorers, and just he's one of our team captains, and just, you know, does a lot of ball handling and and shooting for us. Excuse me, Kenny. So I'm just real proud of Cortland being back to help us out. Sorry about that. To round it off then with the seniors, you got Phil Hipschman. Phil's number 51 for us, and he started the first couple of games, but since then has been coming off the bench of forward and is also one of our senior co-captains, a good rebounder, one of our smartest players, and just fills a really big role for us inside. And then the other senior is Kyle McWilliams. Kyle plays very little for us, but Kyle works hard in practice, positive. He's a good leader. He's one of our co-captains, and he contributes in ways that don't show up on our stat page because he doesn't play a lot. But Kyle's one of the team favorites, and he's a big reason for our success. Just to finish off then, we have a freshman point guard that everyone's read a lot about in Tyler Nottingham that goes by T.D. Nottingham. And being a freshman and playing in that point guard position is a very tough assignment. He handles the ball for us on most possessions and just has done a tremendous job and is averaging, close to just over 7 points a game for us and had just a tremendous sectional. And then speaking of sectional, our sectional MVP was number 13, Tyler Begley, Rick Begley's son and Caleb Begley's younger brother. And Tyler's just turned into one of our better offensive players in his own right. And we've got Riley Eckert at forward, who is a nice role player, defensive option for us, and has made some big plays along the way in the last 10 games and has taken great strides. And then sophomore Alex Allen, who also starts for us. And Alex did not score a point in that sectional championship game, but he had, I believe, we had him for 9 rebounds and 5 steals, and that was huge for us. Some really big rebounds, and just started to mature very nicely. And that covers, I believe, most of the guys in our regular rotation.
Well, when you look at your team, I really think it has been a sum of the parts. You've gotten contributions throughout the season, Coach, from everybody. You had some guys come into the sectional tournament, step up, and play well. You talked about the young man. Allen didn't score, but has rebounded. He's been crazy on the boards for you. You really have, and these are the best teams, in my opinion. The teams, you know, I've had teams where I've had a great player. I've had teams where I've just had a lot of good players that bring it together. This sounds like a Jasper team that's been a sum of its parts and really is the important reason why they're successful.
Yeah, I agree with you. And toward the end of the Pike Central game in the sectional semifinal, it was the Pike Central had cut that score to 3, and we had gone through a little shooting funk for just a couple minutes, and Pike Central did a real nice job getting back into it. And Alex Allen had, I believe, 4 straight rebounds where the ball was in question. I guess the popular term now would be 50-50 ball, but the ball was kind of loose coming off the rim, and we had to have that rebound to get a stop. And Alex ended up with the ball in his hands, and so I called him over there toward the end of the game, and I just told him that, if we had to pick an MVP right now, you're it. Keep rebounding. And you know as well as I do when it comes to evaluating what happened in the game, everyone wants to look at the points. But in a lot of cases, the points end up being less important than the big defensive stop or the big rebound or the hustle play to get a loose ball or just the leadership you can provide. There's so many other factors that go into it.
Absolutely, Coach. You hit it right on the head. You know, who was able to get their foot where they're supposed to go and take away the baseline to keep them from getting the easy score on the baseline. All those little things come together. Coach, you're not a stranger to success in the state tournament. You have won a state championship as a coach at Mater Dei. You prepared teams to move on in the tournament. You've got this Jasper team going into Washington to play in the regional. Talk to us a little bit. I'm sure our listeners would love to know, how did you approach this week? What did you and your staff do differently or the same? Or what is your idea on how to prepare this team for the next step in the tournament?
I guess if there was anything different, it wouldn't even really be different, I guess. But we you come out of the sectional and you're celebrating, you're feeling good, everyone's congratulating you, and, you're surprised by all the support you have all of a sudden. I mean, not that the support isn't there, but it's a lot more overt, obviously, when you win. And, the old saying is, I guess, that, success has 100 fathers and failure is an orphan. But we've got a lot of praise, a lot of slaps on the back, a lot of confidence, a lot of people want to be around. But come Monday, we were business as usual, and that's the way I've always approached it. The sectional's over. We won. It was a great time. Congratulations. So we're not done yet. We've got work to do. We're going to keep getting better this week, and we've got more games we'd like to win. So we're not taking the mentality going into tomorrow's games over in the regional that, we've done everything we can do, and now it's time to bow out. We're ready to do some more. And to do that, we had to focus ourselves at practice, and the kids worked it hard this week at practice, and we didn't even discuss sectional. We just discussed Evans Memorial and winning that next game.
Well, I know the community's excited because that's just the way Jasper is. It's a tough place to coach. There's no doubt about it. But they want to have some success, and they've got a sectional championship, and they're getting ready for this regional. And you're going into Washington, and you're going to be – I think it's ironic as can be. You're playing a team that you really started the season with. It wasn't a good note. I actually think it will play in your favor, but I'm just a guy talking on a sports show. You've got Evansville Memorial. Rick Wilgus has been around a long time. I know you're familiar with him as a coach. You coached against him when he was at Memorial. This Memorial team has a nice group. Eberhard's a nice player. Auker's a nice player. Stokowski's a nice player. They've got some nice pieces to their group as well. They come in 16-6, taking on Jasper 14-9. In the other game, Greensburg, who's just had, oh my gosh, what a team the last few years, 24-1, taking on Silver Creek, who had to come out of one of the toughest 3A sectionals in the state at 15-8. You're playing a team you played at the beginning of the year, a team that I'll use no other word, thumped you. You guys didn't play well. They played as good as they played all year. What's the mentality? What's the thought process as you go on to take on Memorial at this point?
Well, we, you know, like you said, they did take care of us really easily, and it was an embarrassing night for our team as well. And it was one of those important wake-up calls, and we weren't surprised by it. We went down to Evansville-Harrison in the very first game, and we played them relatively close. But as coaches, we knew that we hadn't really played very well against Harrison. We went down to Evansville-Harrison, and we shot really well, and it kept the score within 10. And Harrison obviously had a tremendous team, but we recognized, you know, especially after watching game film, that defensively we just had a long way to go. And so we weren't necessarily surprised when we came out the next game against Evansville Memorial, and we had some big, big problems. And a lot of our defensive and toughness issues were revealed very, very quickly. And Memorial just took advantage, and we were never in that game for 1 second. And I know you were there, and there was a lot of other people there. And it wasn't the fact that Memorial beat us so badly. It was just the timing of it. We had so many special guests in the house, and, you know, Michael Lewis and Scott Rowland and Mike Ballinger, and obviously a nice full crowd to recognize those guys. And it was just bad timing to have that kind of letdown. But I think it did embarrass our kids, and it did motivate our kids. And there was a new sense of urgency at practice the next few weeks. And since that time, we have done nothing but improve. We haven't won every game, but we've gotten steadily better and grown up quite a bit. And so, yeah, I guess to end with that, we're glad that we have the chance to play Memorial again. And we're not thinking on the lines of revenge. You know, we're not out to get them back for what they did to us. We're just out to prove to ourselves and to everyone else how far we have come, that we have come full circle, and that, you know, whether we win or lose on to Memorial on Saturday morning, it's not going to be because of a lack of effort or intensity that we showed the first time we played them.
Coach, I think that's a great point that you made. This isn't about revenge. I mean, this isn't a game of revenge. This is a game to move forward in the state tournament. I think what it does do, like you said, it allows those kids to look back and say, that's who we were. That's not who we are. And we're going to go out and we're going to play the team this time the way we are and not what we were. And I think that's why I believe it bodes well for you going into this game. And I think Memorial mentally better have forgotten that first game, or they may encounter their own problems going against you in this game. Coach, as you look at the regional, I never want to go ahead, because you know you get to that championship game, you put in the work to get there. We know Greensburg is a good team. We know Silver Creek is a good game. Let me ask you this. You had the opportunity to share this moment, not with just the community of Jasper and the players, but you have a young man on your team as well with the last name of Gable. It had to be just a great feeling, a great experience for you guys to share this championship together.
Well, I'm very proud of my son, Justin Gable, and he loves basketball. He spent a whole lot of time in the gym, and he's like any other player. He's got his good and his bad qualities, and, you know, and he got the fortunate situation, got him in some playing time in the varsity. He probably would not have sniffed the varsity floor in the last few games, but he and Hunter Gossett have, as sophomores, have filled in for some playing time that we needed for our guard play, with Cortland being out for a few games. And so, yeah, I'm very proud of Justin, and I feel sorry for him, because it's got to be hard to play for your dad. And I do my best not to take it home. I'm usually pretty good at that, but you know, it's just it's one of those deals where if he's doing well, it would be because his dad's the coach, he's getting to play, or maybe I could be holding him back because I worry about that a little bit. So it's really a no-win situation for him, but I am very proud of him. And I'm glad that he's been a part of a little bit of Jasper basketball history.
Well, we're excited for you, Coach, and it's a fun thing to share with your family. I know I've had that opportunity as well, and I wish you the best of luck this Saturday to the Cats and to your coaching staff. Congratulations and good luck as you go into the regional round.
Thanks, Kane. I appreciate letting me come on the air and promote the team. And I also want to just one last time thank everyone in the community for all the support and for the nice crowds that we've had all year long. We really appreciate it.
We appreciate you taking the time. John Gable, coach of the regional-bound Jasper Wildcats. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Brian Hughes and his 1A state number one ranked Bar E Vikings will be playing in the regional as well. We're going to go to break. Brian's next. Coach Hughes is next on the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultes. And with me is one of the top coaches in high school basketball in the state of Indiana. Whether he wants to agree with me or not, he is. His record proves it out. His consistency proves it out. Coach Brian Hughes of the number one 1A-ranked Bar E Vikings regional bound. Coach Hughes, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Ken. Thanks for the kind introductions also. I'm glad to take some time off today and talk with you.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time because I know it's busy right now. I know you've got all these last-minute things that you want to make sure are ready before you go into play at Lagodi. On Saturday. Coach, I got to speak to you for about 30 seconds after your sectional championship the other night. You had the big smile on your face, and I got to tell you, just being a part of that celebration, and it put a smile on my face. My connection is very limited. My son Josh, obviously you've been gracious enough to let him have an opportunity to work with your staff, and you've had a long season, a very successful season. Number one ranked all year, the monkey on your back, I guess you could call it, the albatross, the white elephant, whatever analogy you want to use. It had to be great. The final game gets moved to Monday. It just had to be great to finally get through that sectional round and get a championship.
Well, it sure was. And like you said, we've had over the years here at Bar E, and my 29th year overall, but 22 here at Bar Reeve. We've been ranked number one before, but never have we been in a situation where we were preseason ranked number one, and we maintained that position throughout the whole season. The players, obviously, just the way they play, have handled that a lot better than even a veteran coach, because it's just it's a lot of pressure from week to week. You're getting everybody's best shot. And, for us to have the season we had and not complete it with a sectional championship would just been devastating to these young men. And that was great to get that accomplished. And now you kind of get out of the neighborhood and you play some teams in different areas of the state, and we're just really looking forward to the opportunity we have Saturday.
Yeah, Coach, you talk about a team that has had to go in week to week with that number one ranking. I never had a team ranked number one. The highest we were was number three in the one-class system, and we couldn't stand it after about 3 weeks. We dropped down after that. But I've seen these guys from the game with Washington with Lagodi and a couple other games, and then against the other night against Vincennes-Gervais. It just seems like they bring a blue-collar attitude to the game. There's a confidence, an air about them, but it's not a cockiness. It's a we believe in ourselves. We've been here before. We know what we need to do, and you just kind of take care of business.
Well, yeah, and the word I like to use is just a high energy. It just amazes me. You know, you win the sectional, and obviously on Monday night we took Tuesday off, and you know, we want to have a couple productive practices on Wednesday, Thursday. You know, tonight we'll back off a little bit, going over to Lagodi for kind of a shoot around. But these last 2 days, I've just cringed numerous times in practice because I have guys diving in the bleachers and diving all over the place and getting undercut, and you know, that's how they play. And I'm just a firm believer: you play like you practice. And these guys come to practice every night with high energy, and it shows. Like I said, on their energy level. But the biggest thing that I've been so pleased with is just the consistent effort at the defensive end. These guys have just locked down some teams, and yeah, we make mistakes, but the effort is there, and that's what, man. When you sit over there as a coach and you see guys just really down, knees bent, and really giving the effort at the defensive end, that's probably the most pleasing thing that I can think of.
Yeah, and one of the things that I have noticed is defensively how well you guys have played, whether you're playing a zone, whether you're playing man, whether you go to some full court pressure, which I really like. I know just from the beginning of the year to watch a team continue to improve, where the beginning of the year, I saw you in your press, and they weren't pinching the middle. Now they're pinching the middle beautifully. You're able to expand your defense on the full and the half court, and you get a pretty consistent effort from them every single time. You got to feel good about the fact that you can play multiple defenses and feel like you're going to get a pretty good result from it.
Yeah, we do. And it's like you said, you know, our press we've used on and off, you know, depending on obviously the opponent. But the thing that I think that really makes us click at the defense is we got a couple guards out there that just get after it. And Logan James is a sophomore point guard for us. And, you know, he has started both years, freshman and sophomore. And when you got a sophomore point guard that has a career record right now, 47-3 at the varsity level, and you know you got two more years left with him, that makes you feel well. And then when you have another guard in Chris Whitmer, junior, and really that's kind of what Chris brings to our table, just kind of a toughness and guarding people. And then we've been pleasantly surprised that, you know, he scored some points for us this year. So the defense, I've always thought, starts out there on the perimeter, and those two guards have done a great job of guarding people.
Well, going into this season, I know I was a big fan of Logan James. I got to see him play a couple times last year, and obviously I have a connection back from my Washington Catholic days with his dad, Mike James, and I was a big fan of Addison Wagler as well. But one player that I probably didn't realize the contribution was Micah Bullock. And I know Josh came home a few times and said, "Dad, really, Micah Bullock, this guy's a good player. I think you'll really realize that as you watch him a little more this year." He's a phenomenal athlete. You talk about your high energy. He's got that and the quickness. He can jump. He's done a really nice job for you.
Well, I tell you, Micah is, Micah's had a great year for us. And just to see what, how that kid has transformed from, I remember being back in junior high. And at that time, he, you know, he wanted to be a player and he knew the game a little bit, but he was little and he was thin, not a whole lot of quickness to him. And there's just an example of a kid that has worked very hard, and now he's 6'4", he jumps well, he's very athletic, he's left-handed, he can shoot the deep three, he can get to the rim. He's been our leading scorer all year, and, you know, he is going to play at the next level somewhere. And, especially for a single-A, you know, scheduled to have a 6'4 perimeter guard that can get to the rim and shoot it like Micah can. Obviously, he's made us a very good basketball team.
And the fact that you have a good basketball team is in no part on one person. It's multiple people. And you've talked about them, guard play. And we've talked about Micah. You've got Addison Wagler, who also – and he's coming back next year. He's just been solid for you all the way through.
Yeah, Addison, I tell you, he's known as catfish around here because he spends most of his summertime noodling, catching catfish with his hands. The kid actually came into open gym last year with his hands all taped up, and the first pass he caught, blood kind of trickled down, and I kind of said, what happened? And he then kind of fessed up and told me he had been noodling and showed me a picture of his catfish. And I tell you, and it's not just him. Majority of our team will do that in the summertime. So the toughness part, I don't have to worry about because that's something I'm not sure I'm going to do on my spare time. But he's been a great player for us, and like you said, we got him back another year. Duncan Roy, a kid that moved in. Kevin Roy used to coach here in Indiana, and he was hired in as a science teacher. And here you get a 6'5" junior addition to your basketball team, and he's been good. And then we just some kids off the bench, a couple seniors, Logan Leininger and John McMullen, have just done a great job. And then another junior, Connor Schwartzentrooper. We've just been, like I said, deep. We've had different guys on different nights, and it's just been one of those special years. And you know, we'll just see what happens. But I know. The disappointment from last year, losing to Borden by one and missing 5 foul shots in the last minute 40, that still stings, and I think these guys want to kind of make up for that.
Well, Coach, you go into this regional. You know, you guys aren't a stranger to the state tournament. You are certainly not. You've had 3 runner-up finishes while you've been at Bar Eve. Bar Eve has a great tradition in basketball. And now in the tournament, especially in the 1A class, you're going to go in and you're going to play a Trinity Lutheran team that really a lot of people don't know a lot about Trinity Lutheran, even where they're at. They're up around Seymour, correct?
Yes, they're around the Seymour area. And they're a basketball team. We actually played them this summer in a summer tournament. Now, they were missing, I believe, a couple starters, and that's what you kind of get into with the summer tournaments. But you know, they're just a basketball. The first thing right off the bat that gets your attention is they just beat Orleans by 21 points. So, you know, that's got to get your attention. And, you know, they're a basketball team that is capable. They've got a 6'6 kid inside who's long, a couple nice guards, a good quickness. They can shoot it. And, you know, but it's like we talk here in our camp, the way we've played all year. You know, yeah, we'll go over scouting report and we'll do all that, but we just need to take care of what we do well, and that's guard people and rebound, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
You know, Coach, it really is. It comes down, you get in the tournament, you might take a few things away from somebody else, you might add a wrinkle, but it really comes down to you guys just continuing to play. Bar Eve, you've done a great job this year. You really have a young team. You had a JV team with one loss. And you made a point earlier when we were talking about Micah Bullock and to our parents who have kids that are coming up. And I told this to a group of 7th and 8th graders that I was working with the other day. Who you are today is not who you're going to be in 3 or 4 years. You got to keep working at your game because you don't know what you're going to be like. You mentioned Micah Bullock being a small, skinny kid. And now today as a senior, he's one of the biggest kids on your team, one of the most athletic, one of the most physical, and he gets a chance to play for a regional championship.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We've had it both ways here. You know, we've had kids in the junior high that you really thought was going to just really turn out, and it just didn't turn out because kids caught up. So, yeah, I would stress the same thing. You know, these kids just need to keep working at the game, and if they have the passion and the desire and the love for it, stay with it, good things will happen.
23-1, number one ranked all year long, the only loss to Elizabethtown, Kentucky in a border battle, 3 runner-ups in the state tournament under Brian Hughes. Coach, I'm just excited for you. I'm going to be in the stands. At Lagodi, a place that I've had some battles as well. But I got to tell you, before we end this segment, I want to tell you my connection with Barry Eve isn't just Josh there. The first regular season game I ever coached, I lost to Barry Eve. And the last regular season game I ever coached, I hope maybe it won't be my last someday, but my last regular season was to Barry Eve. And you were on the other side. Tyson Wagler, I believe it was, hit a shot as the clock was going down, and you nipped us at Jasper. And can't forget that, Coach, but I am excited for you going into this regional.
Well, yeah, I do remember that. And I would like to say, you know, it's been a pleasure having Josh around. When you have a young kid like that that made numerous efforts to contact me by phone, email, and just say he wanted to be a part of it, you know, it makes guys like me excited just to have people around that want to learn the game. And it's been neat having him around here on the sidelines.
Well, keep teaching him. He wants to learn. Hey, thanks for coming on, Brian. I know you're going to be busy. I'll be cheering for you on Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Brian Hughes, number one ranked Bar E Vikings basketball team playing for a regional. They'll go up against Trinity Lutheran on Saturday at Lagodi, and they'll play the winner of Northeast Dubois and Lanesville if they move forward. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk some more basketball, and then we're going to have another Glory Days edition. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar and Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Might be getting a little static coming across, folks. Apologize for that to our listeners. And, of course, we've been focusing today mostly on Indiana High School basketball, the Hoosier Hysteria State Tournament, IHSA State Tournament, not the state playoffs. We don't call the basketball tournament in Indiana playoffs. That's for those lesser states. It's the IHSA State Basketball Tournament, and we've been very fortunate. We've had some great guests on. Of course, we had Mike Steffi, who was part of the Cinderella run into the Sweet 16, folks. That's a big deal. When you got 400 or 500 teams going for the state championship in Indiana in the one-class system, and you're one of the last 16 teams standing, that's pretty phenomenal. It's even better to be the last 8 or the last 4 or the last 2 or the last 1, but the last 16 teams, been there before, it feels good, and his Northeast Dubois Jeeps, one of the smallest schools in the state, was able to do that in 1984. Then we had John Gable, got his first sectional championship as the coach at Jasper High School. They'll be playing in the regional at Washington this weekend. John and his team have done a great job. That team has developed all the way through, and they'll be playing the Evansville Memorial Tigers in the first round game at Washington. The Tigers beat them the first game of the year, actually. Beat them pretty bad. But the team that was is not the team that is now. And, of course, we just finished with the number one ranked basketball coach, Brian Hughes of the Bar E Vikings, his team, number one ranked in 1A. They've been there all year long, and they will be playing in the Lagodi Regional, 1A Regional. They'll be playing Trinity Lutheran. Joe, what do we got going on now?
We have John Bodorf, legendary John Bodorf, ready to go with our next Glory Days segment.
Well, you know what? If the box is ready, then let me put the introduction together for our listeners in 1989. And since we are, this is about regional round, in 1989, 25 years ago, the Jasper Wildcats were one of the teams that came out of the sectionals in the state of Indiana. Going into the regional rounds, they won the Southridge sectional. Coach Ed Yarbrough, may he rest in peace. We'll talk a little bit about Coach Yarbrough and the 1989 Jasper Wildcats with our next guest, a member of that team. And, again, I've always said this about these guys that have had success on their basketball teams. They seem to have success in life. They seem to always be giving back. They seem to always be promoting and helping the others that come after them. I want to welcome from the 1989 Jasper Wildcats, John Bodarf. John, welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, Coach. It's good to talk to you.
Well, it's going to be good to talk with you, and I'm going to let you do a lot of the talking because I want you to talk with us a little bit about that 1989 Jasper Wildcat basketball team. And it was not only a sectional champion, but it was a pretty good basketball team in its own right. 16-8, Big Eight conference champs, co-champs. You had one heck of a basketball player. Not that all of you weren't, but you had, from a career standpoint, one heck of a basketball player in Scott Yarbrough, tremendous athlete out of Jasper High School, great tennis player as well. Talk a little bit about that team going into the sectional before we talk about the sectional itself.
Well, Coach, I feel privileged to be on this global Coach K and Joe show, his first off, and I like your point earlier about playoffs. I thought of Jim Mora when you were talking about that earlier. But leading up into sectional that year, you know, we had a pretty solid year. We played a lot of really good teams, and I appreciate the good comments you had about our squad. We had eight seniors that year, and, you know, we all stuck together, and we had one goal in mind, and it was, you know, looking up to guys like you that you played in 81, and we wanted to cut those nets down and bring it back to Jasper because it had been a little bit of a dry spell. So that was our goal starting into the season. And, you know, we had a lot of good competition that year. Played some really good teams. Terre Haute North had a great team that year. Heritage Hills, Vincennes, Lincoln. I mean, there was a lot of really good teams on the schedule. So it toughened us up going into the sectional that year. And at the time, Forest Park, I believe they were 16-4 heading into. So that was the opening battle. Nobody really, you know, at that time, we didn't play them the regular season. So there was the unknown of how we were going to match up, you know, because from a loss standpoint, we had lost seven games. So on paper, they looked a little bit better, but it matched up in that first night. And as far as our team goes, you know, like I said, 1 through 8, we had a rotation of 8 guys, and Scott was our quarterback and just a great leader and great scorer. And then we had Jason Albright, obviously, his quickness and was unbelievable and could defend, you know, anyone out on the perimeter. And then you had Growlick down low and Huffy. And you know Huffy's athleticism, the way he was amazing. And they could just eat up some space in there, and then I'd play out on the wing. And, you know, if we got in foul trouble, they'd slide me down underneath. And it was and we brought Brad Dedrick off the bench, who was very quick. And then we also had Brian Seibert, our three-point specialist. And then Brad Hudson, may he rest in peace. Been 25 years ago we lost him, but he came in and he had some intangibles that he brought to the table. So we had a great squad 1 through 8, and it just we just clicked at the right time.
You know, I think, John, the interesting thing you talked about, and I've seen this in a lot of teams that go on and have success, senior-dominated teams. Teams that these seniors, they don't want to go out without accomplishing something. And it really would be an understatement that you were close. If even today you guys still get together every year, you still get together. And when I see pictures on Facebook and other social media sites, I see pictures of you guys together, either showing old pictures from when you were in school or you've gotten together to play cards or whatever it might be. I mean, you truly were an essence of a close team.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we were just an unbelievable group. And, you know, you spoke of Ed earlier, and And Ed was very good about having us together, you know, outside of the sports and enjoying that camaraderie. And we had, you know, we had Danny Lewis on the bench, who was a phenomenal coach. Just he was amazing. And then we had Phil Wendell was our JV coach at the time. And talk about, you know, getting a team prepared to move up to the varsity level. I mean, he really took us to the next level on the JV level before we got to the varsity level. So, you know, it takes a community, and it takes, you know, the teamwork and all the people behind the scenes that help out. You know, even down to the student managers that, you know, bring the water bottles. And I know you talk about that a lot, and I really appreciate that when you bring that up, you know, because it takes everyone, you know, to make a winning program. Well, you talked about Phil Wendell. Phil Wendell was a former Trestor Award winner, played for Plymouth in the state championship, played with a pretty good player on every level by the name of Scott Skiles. But the one thing that everybody will tell you that knew about that team at Plymouth, Phil Wendell brought a toughness, just like Scott Skiles did, a mental toughness. So to have him as a part of that staff grooming you guys, I got to agree with you, it had to be such a benefit with his lineage in Hoosier hysteria. Oh, absolutely. And it was, you know, we made it a point, Jason Albrand and myself, to challenge him one-on-one every day after practice. I mean, and those, talk about some battles, you know, battling a guy that won a state championship and played with Scott Skiles. I mean, if you can't learn something from him, you know, he just had great, quick hands. You know, when big men bring the ball down, he taught you, you know, how to tap it out and not get a foul called on you. Just little things that make basketball players successful that you learn by playing with him and from his coaching. It was just it was amazing to learn from him. You know, it's funny. I'm looking at the team picture, one of the team pictures from here, and you're in there, and just again about the tenacity with which you played. And I know you and I played in a lot of pickup games later on, turkey ball and those types of things, Christmas hoops. You got a little black eye going underneath there, and I think that speaks about your team that year. You guys were tough mentally, tough physically. You played the way a senior-dominated team should. You didn't go out and play finesse basketball. Coach Yarbrough didn't teach finesse basketball. You guys went out there and got after it. Yeah, absolutely. And that's when I brought up Danny Lewis earlier. I can remember our, you know, our post games doing a drop step to the bucket. He would come out and he'd bring some pads from Coach Brewer, and he would just slam us to the ground, you know, for an and one, and just try to make sure that we were going up strong to the bucket. And you know, I attribute our toughness to, you know, those type of drills that came in, you know, making you tough and diving on the floor and just going the extra mile. It's all the little things, Coach, and you talk about it all the time. That's why I enjoy listening to you talk about basketball, because you understand that the little things that come up during the game mean a whole lot. You know, whether it's somebody setting the right screen at the right time, making a backdoor cut, all those little things add up. And we had, you know, such a great staff that taught us those things throughout the years. And Terry Tucker, you know, talk about a guy going way back. He was our freshman coach, and man, Tay, he would give you some he'd give you some mean practices there, doing some bench jumps with medicine balls. I'll never forget those days.
Well, you know, those are things that have all been learned through the process that's coming up from Jasper basketball. And you talk about the little things, and it really is the little things that make the difference. And you get that not by talking about it. You get it by going through it in practice. Unfortunately, we're getting to the point where people don't understand the difference between the importance of the physical practice and the toughness of a practice. And they want everybody to back off. You can't beat teams that are better than you athletically if you don't understand how to do those little things, and you learn that from practice. Let's talk about the sections. You didn't get an easy draw. Yeah, I mean you had to go the tough way. Three games, and you had to play Forest Park, Dubois, and Southridge to get through. No easy draw. Talk about those games.
Well, like I said, heading into it, on paper, it looked like Forest Park was a little bit going to be a big challenge for us, because they were 16-4, had a good scorer, Nate Huffman. I think he averaged 13, 14, 15 points a game. They were pretty balanced. You know, they had a junior center, Mike Kniece, who was pretty strong inside, so Huffy was going to have a good matchup there. And we just came out and were fired up to play, and we were looking forward to the challenge, you know, and just being, you know, privileged to go over there and play in that gym. And I spent summers, you know, I got to give my hats off to the local coaches around the area. You know, Gary Duncan would let me come over in the summertime. Big Joe Mundy would open up the gym, and I'd go over there and play on that floor, and I'd go up to Dubois and play. So there was familiarity with the people around the program, so it was always a neat time. And when we got to that game, you know, we just we were ready to go. I mean, we wanted to get out of the gates, and we did. We came out pretty strong, and I think we ended up winning by 22 points. I think they were a little shocked that we came out to and were really after it. I mean, they were a good team. Take nothing away from them. But we just that evening, we came out and we wanted to make a mark. That we knew it was going to be the toughest draw, but we were ready for it.
Well, you got that a big win, like you said, by 20 plus points. You played Northeast Dubois in the second round, another 20 point win. I mean, you guys were ready to play mentally. You were ready to do what needed to be done, and then you faced the longtime nemesis of the Jasper Wildcats. South of Jasper, I won't say what we used to say about Southridge because we love our Southridge listeners, the Southridge Raiders in the championship game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, we went into that game, and I think at the time, I think Southridge had only won 2 or 3 games, so they were maybe 3-17 coming into the championship game. They beat Ferry Central on Friday night. But I'll tell you what, they had Paul Nycomb, who was an outstanding scorer. I think he led the county that year, I believe, and that's, you know, leading Scott Yarbrough, above Scott Yarbrough and Jason Albrand. He probably averaged 22, 23 points a game. He was an excellent scorer. They had a young team, Mark Boozy, you know, who went on to IU and a pole vaulter, but they had some athleticism. Chad Clark, as a sophomore, I believe, or even a freshman, started for them, and he was big at the time then. So they had some players, and then, obviously, when you have Gary Duncan on the sidelines, you know you're in for a tough match. You know, so we went in knowing full well they were going to have a game plan and they were going to slow down the tempo because we like to get up and go when we could. We were going to put some pressure on them. And it started off, I'll tell you what, we started off a little bit wobbly. I mean, we were down, I think, 18-9 when Coach Yarbrough called timeout. But they came out of the gates and they were not intimidated by us at all and did not want to lose on their home floor to us. So they came out and gave us everything that they could, and we finally, you know, settled down a little bit, ran our plan, played tough defense, and clawed our way back in it. And like I said, you know, the 1 through 8 really came in for our 8 seniors that year. Brad Dedrick came off the bench when Scott got in a little foul trouble, came in, made some big steals, and went down and scored and got fouled, brought us back up, got us to the level of controlling the game there in the third and fourth quarter, and finally ended up running away with a 12-point win. But I'll tell you what, 12 points, it was a tough, tough game.
Yeah, you go on to get the victory, 49-37. The buzzer sounds, the horn goes off, the gun gets the gunshot goes. Jasper was successful,
yep.
First one since 81. The crowd's crazy. You're storming the floor. What do you remember from that time? What do you remember from the time that buzzer goes off and the feeling the rest of that evening?
Well, I tell you what, it was very emotional time just for thinking of all the players that came through the program. And I think I know you have an appreciation for this, but guys that even came before and after you that, you know, put in all that effort and didn't have that opportunity to get up on that ladder and cut those nets down. And it just, it's really about the community and cutting them down. You feel part of the program and part of the heritage of everything involved. It was overwhelming, you know. It was really, it was an amazing time. And then obviously, you know, looking up for my parents and, you know, seeing my dad and my mom and how proud they were of, you know, putting the effort into something that, you know, you dreamed about, you know, and reaching out to them and then seeing, you know, all the fans, you know, the classmates and the underclassmen that were so excited to come out and cheered us on all year long and went on road trips, you know, to come cheer us on when they could. And it just, the support from the students, you know, the staff and the community, it meaning so much to them as well was just, it's just very, very special. And it still is today to hear it happen for all the teams.
And, you know, there's such a fraternity at every high school, and Jasper's not the exception, that when you played for your high school basketball team, when you went through all the practices, all the time, all the effort, all the highs, and all the lows, because it really is a roller coaster, and you're a member
Absolutely.
Of a fraternity. But when you win that section, when you advance in the state tournament, especially in the one-class system, you just join a special fraternity, and you run into guys, and you know they played on a sectional championship, and they know you played on a sectional championship. It's something that you never, you really never forget.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And, you know, still to this day I speak with, you know you had Mike Steffi on earlier, and I really enjoyed watching the Jeeps when I was young and watching him play. What a phenomenal player. And seeing the Southridge guys and, you know, the Forest Park and seeing them all today, you go back and you talk about those memories and just the respect level that you have for each other of putting it all out there on the floor. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have, you know, a great coaching staff, a great team, and I was able to cut down those nets. But, you know, it doesn't diminish the other players that went before. I'll never forget, you know, after the game, I went over to Paul Nykum and after it was shortly after I met with my parents, and I walked over to him, gave him a big hug, and said, "Hey," I said, "hopefully this can be for you sometime," you know, because he just playing in the summertime, you know, it is the camaraderie and the fraternity you talk about. It goes. You know, we have our heated rivalries, but at the end of the day, there's the respect there. That leaves you, Coach.
Oh yeah, I'm going to have to get him back on. But John, I've got a quick question for you. Huh? And then I'm going to go get Coach. I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to run and get him real quick. You know, watching the game Saturday night, I saw you, I saw Terry Tucker, I saw Jared Brosmer. I saw a lot of ex-Jasper Wildcat players that looked awfully proud of what the Wildcats accomplished. Tell me a little bit about how you felt and how you feel about this team.
Well, I tell you what, I talked to Coach throughout the year, and I've just been very impressed with their growth and just seeing them. We talked about the little things, the fundamentals, and there's been some games throughout the years as you see them going, just the way they pivot with the ball, the little things. You can tell the coaching staff has made it very important for them to handle the ball. And when you have a freshman that's doing the things that he's doing and just very calm, cool, and collected, and for the upperclassmen to embrace him as their floor leader has been really a joy to watch, just to see them gel together and mesh with that group, because it's along different class lines. You know, you have a few seniors, you have three seniors, and then they have some underclassmen that are playing really well, and just seeing their growth throughout the year. And it was just, I just had a feeling for this team this year, seeing them grow, and they've really done an excellent job. And I think they have every opportunity in the world to go over there next weekend and shock some people. I've looked through the schedules of who people have played. I know Greensburg's highly ranked. I know we got thrashed by Memorial earlier in the year, but that was just growing pains, you know. I think they're going to come out and you know, Evansville Memorial has a great coach. It's going to be a coaching battle, but I have some faith in the Wildcats. They can take them down, and I'm hoping that they can. It's just been a really, really pleasure to watch them this year.
Now, John, we you know, touched on Coach Ed Yarbrough, and you said how he kept you guys, you know, together even off the court. You know, tell us a little bit about what Coach Yarbrough means to you.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, he would never turn me down. If I came over to his house, Judy and Ed, I would walk to the house, walk up to the door and say, "Coach, I need a key to the gym." And he would be there on the spot. "Here you go, boss, go in there and get to work," you know, and just the little things. After games, he'd make sure that we were taken care of, and we'd get together and play cards, and just he really loved the game of basketball too. You could just tell, and his love for that kind of went out to all of us, and you talked to a lot of the older players that played for him, and the respect they have for him, and it was a joy to play under him. And he was demanding, but at the end of the day, you really respected him and what he put into the program.
Hey, Joe, I'm back. John, can you hear me?
Yes.
John, I got cut off. Technology let me down. I apologize.
That will happen.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about the regional round. But first I want to mention, you guys were just talking about getting into the gym, coach being available. But, John, you were kind of a renaissance man in a way, and let me clarify why. Most of the players I played with, in fact, all of them, would not have thought about going to play over at Southridge or going up to Dubois to play. You loved the game so much. You wanted to get better so bad that you were willing to go to any rival's gym, anywhere. You just wanted to play basketball.
Yes, absolutely. I loved it.
I mean, I really never knew that you went out and went to those places. I think that's awesome. And in a time now where they've got summer games and everything, you were on the road going wherever you needed to go to play.
Yeah, because it was the competition. I knew that, you know, I wanted to play for Jasper and I wanted to improve on my game, and the only way to improve was to be playing with better competition. And that's what I sought out. I wanted to be able to get banged around, and I'd go down even on weeknights to the old Cabbie Gym that they had the middle school there. I tell you what, taking some lumps as a 15 and 16-year-old from the old men, but I tell you what, that's what toughened me up. You know, it made me the player that I was, and respect the different people in their games and what you need to do to be able to defend. So it was definitely a good learning for me.
Well, let's jump into the regional quickly. And you guys are going to play North Harrison in the other game. We were winning a sectional championship at Washington Catholic over at Washington the same night. We upset a Ligoti, state-ranked Ligoti team. We were going to be taking on Paoli. We were hoping to get a play, Jasper, in a championship game, but it didn't work out for us. But in your situation, you held a pretty good lead over a pretty good North Harrison team through most of that regional opening round.
Yeah, absolutely. We came out, and they had some scores. And just a little backstory on North Harrison. The previous summer, Jason Albrand, Scott Yarbrough, Steve Huffin, and myself went to a camp in northern Kentucky. And we were very familiar because Mark Berger and, I'm trying to think of some of the names there. It was Opal, and I can't think of them. But anyway, we played with them in that summer camp. So we knew of them a little bit going into that game. We knew they were some players. And so we had a little bit of familiarity. And tell you what, it went back and forth throughout the game, and we got up to a 10-point lead with about 5 minutes to go. And I tell you what, the wheels just fell off a little bit. They had a steal and a three-pointer, and they had another steal and came down, and, you know, bam, bam. You know how, like you always talk about, basketball is a game of runs, and they got on a quick run on us, and within minutes it was a tight ball game.
Yeah, and the season comes to an end, but it was a great, great year for the Wildcats. North Harrison wins. They play Paoli. Paoli goes on to win the regional championship. Very good Paoli team, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, when you look back, as I said about your group, you guys have been so close. Bonds that were created that have never loosened at all. You lost a member of your team, tragically, a couple weeks after that regional game, a week after that regional game. But still, you guys are connected, and you're connected for life. And here's another thing I want to bring up, and you can speak to it a little bit. Jason Albrand, assistant coach for the Wildcats. Scotty Yarbrough, teachers and coaches in the Jasper system. Craig Greilich, very involved in the community. All you guys, you give back. I believe that success isn't by accident. You've learned the little things it takes, as we talk about on the basketball court, but you've learned the little things off the basketball court. You got to be servant leaders. You got to be leaders, but you got to be givers at the same time. And your group has continued to show that.
Well, I really appreciate you speaking highly of us, Coach, like that. It has been. You know, you see the guys throughout the year, and they want to give back to the community, and they want to see good things happen for the kids that come through the programs. No matter what sport it is, basketball is near and dear to our heart, but we also support, you know, the other sports in general. And I just I feel blessed to have grown up in this community. You know, there's just a lot of support out there, and so you want to give back when you come back around. I lived away for a while, but ended up moving back to the area to be close to family, and just to reconnect with everyone and see how things are. It's a pretty special place around here in Southern Indiana.
You know, you've lost. We talked about Coach Yarbrough, and Hudson. Talk just real quickly about him, just before we end this segment, just your comments on both Coach and Scott.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, Coach, I'll tell you what, Coach Yarbrough was he was a gentle giant. You know, he would do whatever it took for you. If you wanted to work on your game and improve on your game, he was going to be there for you to provide you with the tools to do that. All you had to do was put forth the effort, and then he was going to support you in that. And so,
you know, you can see that throughout his tennis and everything. And Scott continues the same way. Just a great teacher and motivator. You know, both of them, he's chip off the old block. He's able to motivate kids and see them succeed. And that's just a special talent and a gift that they both have. And I know Scott misses him dearly, and then so does the community and what he's done for us. And Brad, I'll tell you what, he had such an impact on so many different people. He was a great football player, and he didn't play basketball up until our senior year, and he would play pickup games with us. And finally I told him, I was like, Brad, I said, we need you, you know, come out for basketball senior year. And he did, and he came out, made the team, and contributed to us. And actually that North Harrison game, he had a fine game there. He helped us out get back in the game in the third quarter, scored some good buckets on some putbacks. And he was a great talent, and fun to be around, and there's a lot of people that miss him. You know, a lot of people in our class talk about 25 years ago, and I actually got a call last night from someone was saying, hey, why don't we all get together and go over to the regional and talk about, you know, Brad and the memories. And he just he was a great guy. You know, some people's lives are cut shortly, and it happened, but all the memories of him are still here, and they're still special.
Well, Botts, I'll tell you, as we end this segment, I'm not going to let you off the hook here. I'm going to make you look at this regional coming up at Washington. You've got Jasper and Memorial, Greensburg and Silver Creek. It's a tough road no matter what. Your thoughts on the regional coming up on Saturday?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think if Jasper plays our game and they stick to the game plan, I really believe that we can get through that morning matchup with Memorial. I think they're talented. And, you know, they're well-coached, you know that. And they're going to give everything that they can. I think that if we play our game, that we'll be right in there and we'll be able to take the victory down. The second game, the Greensburg and Silver Creek, I was looking through some of their scores. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. But I'd say with the defending state champions, you're probably going to go with them in the morning for Greensburg to go ahead and win that. As far as predictions, you know, hey, I'm a Wildcat at heart, so I would love to see the Cinderella story and that team just go into the night and take down Greensburg. That'd just be the greatest thing, wouldn't it, Coach?
It certainly would. Regardless, it's going to be a great experience for players, fans, and coaches. Botts, thanks for being with us. You put great memories out there for Jasper basketball fans, and at the same time, you created great memories for yourself. And you propel those into your future as well. You know, people, we talk about the glory days, not to live in the past. We talk about how those times help propel us to where we're at in the future. And John Botarf, they've served you well, and you've served them well.
Well, thanks a lot, Coach K. I really appreciate it. It was great to be on the show.
Well, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll finish the show talking some hoops, maybe some Major League Baseball, who knows, maybe some NFL draft. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We are back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, yes, I'm back. And, Joe, you are the MVP of the show because my line dropped. I was in no man's land. And, Joe, you picked it up and you kept going with John. You're the MVP of the day.
Well, you know, we've had some MVPs on, though. I don't know. I mean, you've got Botts, you've got Mike Steffi, you've got John Gable, you've got Brian Hughes. Yeah, we'll call me the technical MVP because when you mention those four names, that's four heavy hitters, you know, that we've had on the show. And I'll tell you what, it's great to hear the enthusiasm that Botts brings. And, you know, I know he, you know, I saw him when you were gone. The question I did ask him was, you know, I saw Jared Brosmer, I saw Terry Tucker, on the floor after the game Saturday night, all three of them beaming with pride at what the Wildcats had accomplished. And, you know, you can just tell that those players, you know, those ex-players, it meant a lot to them, you know, for Jasper to get back up on that ladder and cut down those nets.
Well, I just think that you're exactly right. It means a lot. It's a fraternity. And you want the people that come after you to do well. It's not like you want to say, well, we were the only ones that done it. You want to say, you want them to experience how exciting it is, how much fun it is, what it does for you. That's what athletics is all about. It's achieving something as a team that maybe some didn't think you could do. It's achieving those opportunities and making them happen, and those guys relish that, and they're happy for the ones that came behind them as well. And this will be a tough weekend. There will be winners, and there will be losers, but the memories will be that they advanced and moved on in the Indiana State Tournament. Joe, we got a few minutes left. Let's talk about some of these regionals. Let's look at them and see what you think. Let's start with the Class 4A at Seymour. Central, and I got to give credit to our Central Bears down here in Evansville. They really were not the team most people thought would come out of that sectional. Harrison and Wright were the ones that were considered the teams that would come out of there, with Castle maybe having an opportunity, and yet Central prevails. They come out of there. They'll be playing New Albany 17-6. Bloomington North will be playing Franklin Central. Bloomington North 14-8, and Franklin Central 13-10. Joe, any thoughts on that 4A regional?
Well, I don't know as much about them, but you know, anytime you hear the word New Albany in basketball, you got to consider that they're a really good team and that they're going to, you know, be one of the favorites. But I'll tell you what, I watched Evansville Central play against Jasper this year, and then they really get after it, and they've got some athletes. They've got some really, really good athletes on that team. So, you know, if Central would knock off New Albany in the opening round, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay, at Southridge, 2A, and we don't want to forget to mention for our listeners in Perry County, Perry Central, what a great job Matt Carter, has done with that program. They beat Modern Day in the championship game, and they will go on to play in the regional round of 2A, Class 2A at Southridge. They will play Linton Stockton, and we know Linton Stockton has been to that state championship game. Coach Joey Hart takes his team back to the regional. They're 19-6, Perry Central 18-5, Austin 13-10, Clarksville 21-2. Joe, any thoughts on the 2A regional?
Well, I've heard reports of Clarksville, and I heard they've got a really good squad. And, you know, I would think that they would have to be the favorite. But I'll tell you what, Perry Central, you know, there's just something about that place. They, you know, they produce winners and, you know, just about everything, and wouldn't be surprised if they did, you know, didn't pull off, you know, the victory against Linton and went on to play Clarksville and battle them in the championship. What are your opinion?
I think I'm going to take Perry Central and Clarksville in the championship game, because I think that Perry Central proved they could play against some of the tougher teams. Evansville Modern Day wasn't a great team. Don't get me wrong, they weren't a great team, but they were a very competitive team that played a pretty competitive schedule, probably a little stronger than most 2A teams play. Perry Central was able to come through and win that game. I see them with Clarksville 21-2, and I'm going to take Clarksville to win that regional. At Class A, Lagodi, Bar Eve 23-1 versus Trinity Lutheran 16-6. Again, if you're not familiar with Trinity Lutheran, the school is located in Seymour. I'm sure the Seymour people aren't happy because some good basketball players must be playing for Trinity Lutheran. They will play, and then Northeast Dubois, the Jeeps, will play Lanesville 15-8. And folks, if you go back and look at the class basketball, Dubois has done well. Lanesville has done well. Bar Eve has done phenomenal. Joe, your thoughts on this particular regional?
Well, you know, Barry is by far the class of it. And but, you know, I'm hoping for Dubois to pull out a victory against Lanesville and for it to be a Barry and Dubois final. I'll tell you what, look, Dubois has a kid named Tyler Haas. He actually works at Holiday Foods in Jasper and walks my groceries out to the car a lot. And a super kid, but I'll tell you what, when he played Jasper, I'd never really seen him play. He rose up and put one down, and I'll tell you what, he's a phenomenal athlete. And, you know, if they can get some, if they've got the inside game, you know, to compete in this regional, if they can get their guards to perform in the regional championship level, you know, who knows what could happen. But I'll tell you, you know, Brian Hughes, he's got a great team, and, yeah, I just think they have to be the favorites.
Yeah, I would have to say Barry's the favorite here. I think they'll beat Trinity Lutheran, and I think they'll go on to win this regional. Dubois, though, they're back healthy. They're all back healthy, and they're playing quite well right now. Don't know a lot about Lanesville, but I do know they've had success in the opening rounds, 2A or the 1A tournament. So, but I got to believe the number one ranked team throughout the year, they've carried that cross, so to speak, all year long, and they've been able to be successful. I look for Barry to come out of that at Ligoti. And then we go to Washington. And for you people from Jasper, I'm going to give you my prediction. Don't be mad at me one way or the other. I'm just giving my prediction. Class 3A, we have Greensburg 24-1 versus Silver Creek 15-8, and Memorial 16-6 versus Jasper 14-9. Joe.
Of course, I'm a homer. You know, you've called me that before. So, of course, I'm picking Jasper to win over Memorial. I think Memorial's going to come in and remember the team they played back in November, and Jasper's a totally different team than they did in November. Nottingham wasn't playing quite as much, and now that he's been inserted, its ball handling is a lot better. And, of course, I'm picking Greensburg to win. And then, of course, I am a homer. Jasper's going to find a way to beat Greensburg.
Well, I want the Wildcats to win, but I'm not going to go past what I believe looks like the teams that should win. I think Jasper will beat Memorial. I don't think Memorial can forget the thumping they put on the Wildcats the first of the year. I don't think they can understand the different team they're going up against. But don't get me wrong. Memorial, if you go back to a few shows earlier, I did tell you that I believe Memorial may be the best team in Evansville. Of course, they promptly went out and got beat by Princeton that weekend by 20, but I still stood by it because I'd seen Memorial play a couple times, and I know the pieces of the puzzle. But I think Jasper will win that game because Memorial won't get past the mental part of how bad they beat them earlier. Greensburg will be in a tough game against Silver Creek, but they will win, and Greensburg will go on to win that regional championship and move on to the semi-state. Greensburg has a very, very good team. They're well coached. They've got good experience. Jasper, I hope they do beat them. But based on what I see, I think Greensburg is the best team in that regional. So that's where we have it. Folks, we didn't get talk a lot about IU. There really wasn't much to talk about. They didn't shoot the ball well. They haven't shot the ball well all year. They didn't play defense when they needed to play it. They looked like pieces out there against Illinois. They looked like pieces. They did not look like a team. And I'm sure that Coach Crean is very disappointed in that. But they looked like pieces. And you can't win pieces. You got to come together. You got to do all the little things. Block out, play defense, get back, contest shooters with your hand up, not down. You got to move the basketball. You got to break the defense down. Nobody likes to play defense. Folks, we're about done. I'm going to let Joe take us home. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We had great guests, John Gable, Brian Hughes. Thank you for taking time out of your regional preparations. John Bodar, Mike Steffi, wonderful look back to the glory days piece. Joe, take us home.
Okay, before I end this, I'd like to wish a couple teams good luck. I'd like to wish, first of all, the Jasper Wildcats, good luck in the regional, and the Northeast Dubois Jeeps as well. But also wanted to, you know, give a special good luck to Josh Schultheis and the Barre Vikings. You know, Josh you know, being your son, you know, I've known him since he was a baby. And, you know, I saw a picture after the sectional that I posted on the Coach K and Joe Show website that I stole off your wife's Facebook, a picture of you, your father, Josh, and Scott, and, you know, three sectional coaches that had won sectionals. And I have a feeling there was a fourth one there that will find coaching someday as well. So I'll tell you what, we're going to end this regional edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. For Joe, for Coach K, we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.